on Yom Kippur, Achidush Tiyah for sure is an Issa Daraisa. The Pasuk says that there's Kores, and the Gemara says on the other four Inuyim, Chitzasich and Nivos Asan Latash Mashamita, there is no Kores. This led the Rabbi Natam to believe that the Shari Inuyim is only with the Rabbanan, and the Rambam is Kimat Beferish that it's not so that they're all there. I said there's only Kores on Achidush Tiyah, and the others not. The Gemara in Psochim has a discussion about Macholas Asuris, if you eat non-kosher food, Shalok Ederach Achilosa, in an abnormal fashion. Let's say a person eats chazer, it's burning hot, and he burns his tongue. Or he takes it out of the freezer, it's ice cold, and he's chewing on the chazer, and he's burning his mouth from cold. It's mamish ice. So that's not normal. So the Gemara says, if you eat treifu food, Shalok Ederach Achilosa, it's mutam in Atorah. The pashtus in this sugya is that it's also with the rabbanon, it's only muta for chalushim misakon. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. The Tur quotes the Rav Yoh that both on the Tur quotes the Rav Yoh and the Shach Paskins like this. Very surprising. The Shach Paskins like that the Rav Yoh that shlokeder chachilosai is mutter even with the rabbanon. They never made an issa the rabbanon. Shach Gazari has a whole tshuva where he disagrees with the Shach. He said, what does Shach quote the Rav Yoh la'alocha? Rav Rishonim don't agree. The whole shlokech derech achilosai is awesome with the Rabban. The Gemara says in Psachim there are two exceptions to the rule where shlokech derech achilosai is an issa deraisa. One is by Basa B'cholov and one is by Kloy HaKerem. And the reason why is because the Chumash never formulated the prohibition b'loshen achilo. By Macholos Asuris, it says Achila. By Basa B'cholom, it says L'Sevashel Gebita Chalei B'imoy. And we learn out through Yalfusa that not only is it Asa B'Bishul, the only thing that says explicitly is Bishul. So we have a Yalfusa that it's even Asa B'Achila, and we even Paskin, there's a Machlekes HaTanayim, we even Paskin that Basa B'cholom is Asa B'Hanoah. But Mefurish in the Pasuk is only Bishul. So since the Lashon Achila never appears in connection with Basa B'cholom, and the same with respect to Kloy HaKerem, Pasuk says, you should be careful not to allow Kloy HaKerem. Pentugdash HaMalaya Azer Shatizah Tuas HaKorem. So Pentugdash means that it'll be Asa Bahanoah. And then the Gemara says also Pentukaresh, that it's Minan Israf, and you have to burn it. But it never says that you're not allowed to eat it. It's self-understood, you're not allowed to eat it. So whenever the Loshen Achila says, then you say, Shulok Derech Achila says, Mutam and Atar. But whenever it doesn't say Loshan Achila, then there's no Yalfusa, there's no Pasuk to say Shalok Ederech Achilosa should be Muta Menatar. So the Shach Gazari has such a Chiddush. He thinks that on Yom Kippur, if a person eats any food, all food is Oster on Yom Kippur, if he eats any food, Shalok Ederech Achilosa, that'll be an Issa Deraisa. So when you have to figure out the Achila, then he has to eat something, so that's not going to be an Eitzah to tell him. To each look at Erech Achilosa, that'll minimize the Issa. Shach Gazari says it does not minimize the Issa. The Sfasemes, in his Chidushim on Yuma, writes, he thinks he has a riot, a hoichoche to the Shach Gazari, that the Mishnah says that oichel amashka not mitzdar from yachad, the shir for oichlim, in order to be chayv koris, if a person ate b'shoigig on Yom Kippur, it'll be chayv chatos. So in order to be chayv koris b'meizid, you have to eat a shir, we said yesterday, Koseves Agasa, which is bigger than a Kazayis, and drinking, the shir is different. It's a Maloy Lugma, which is smaller than a Revi. So since Michael and Mashke, the shurim are not the same, so it's they're not mitzdar from Yachad. You have to have Davke Sheim Echod and Shiurim Shovim. Shmaseim Shovim and Shiurim Shovim. That's a Mishnah in Me'ilah. Let's say a person eats a Chatzi Zayis of Chazer and a Chatzi Zayis of Basa B'cholov. So we paskin in the Mishnah enis that there are different opinions in Tanaim, but the accepted sheet of Laloch is enin surim mitzar from zeim ze. You're not mitzar of yachad. Let's say if you have a chatzi zayis of chazir and a chatzi zayis of elephant's meat, so that's the same thing. Even though one is elephant and one is horse and one is meat and one is a donkey, it's all the same thing. Behemet mei is all shem echot. So that's a Mishnah meila. Koshish, when are different things mitzar from yachad? If it's Shmoseim Shovim and Shireim Shovim. So the Isser Achila Shtia is Takish Shmoseim Shovim. It's the same Isser. Achila Shtia is the same Isser. Let's say a person eats B'shoigig on Yom Kippur and he drinks B'shoigig on Yom Kippur. He's not Chayiv Tuchatois because it's Shem Echad. It's Achila Shtia Shem Echad, but it's not Shireim Shovim. But Achila the Shir is Kosebis Agasa. And by shtia, the shir is mavai lugma. But the Gemara says kim lehu lerabbanan. The Chachamim assessed the situation. They said that behachi miyas v'daita. It depends on yishuv adas. V'inisim es nav shesechem. Inu is the opposite from yishuv adas. So akoseves hakasa gives it. That's not kedei sviya. If you eat a kaseves hagasa of bread, you're not mechuyif to bench bichus hamozim in haTorah. It's still not kedei sviya, but it's at least a certain degree of yisuvi daita. And if you have less than kaseves hagasa, you don't have any yisuvi daita. And the same is by drinking kimlu de rabbanan, that maloy lugmav, it's not a full yisuvi daita, but it's a mixas. That's how the Gemara says, a mixas yisuvi daita. So the Mishnah says that oichal amashka not mitzar from yachad on Yom Kippur, even though it's shem echot, it's shmasem shavim, but it's not shiurem shavim. So they're not mitzar from yachad. So the but let's say two different mashkim are mitzar from yachad. So the Sasema says, what if you have two mashkim that don't blend in together? Let's say orange juice and milk. So people normally would not want to drink milk right after orange juice because it has a different flavor. So the Sasema says, and nonetheless, the Mishnah says that they're mitzar from yachad. Mishnah says all mashkim are mitzar from yachad, all oichlam are mitzar from yachad, even though it's not normal to eat this mashke after that mashke, to eat this oichel after that oichel. It should look at derech achilasai, and nonetheless the Mishnah says that it's mitzar from. The Sfasem is right, so he thinks that that Mishnah is a hoichoche to the Shagasari. He says the Shagasari's logic is always gehalten, you don't need any hoichoches. That the Gemara in Psochim establishes that by Bosa B'cholov and by Kloya Kerem, Shaloka Derech Achilos is an Issa Deraisa. The Klal the Gemara said because it's not formulated in the Chumash B'loshan Achila. Whenever it's not formulated B'loshan Achila, so there's no drasha to exclude Shaloka Derech Achilos. So by Yom Kippur also it's formulated in Nitzim Asnaf Shesechim. Ta'anu Asnaf Shesechim. It doesn't say Achila. The logic is the drasha is correct, and he says from the Mishnah he thinks that it's correct also. If you have food that's nifsal me'achila, that's a different story. Let's say you have rotten food that's spoiled, or you have a mashke that not roi l'achila. Let's say you have mouthwash. Normal people don't enjoy drinking mouthwash. If you put it on a table in a wedding and you put ice cubes in it, so the first person, you don't say what it is. So the first person going to drink it is going to spit it out. Is going to tell everybody else, don't drink it. Some kind of new maim chaim soda, and it doesn't taste good. It's not roi l'achila. So that befavors the Gemara says, if you have something either nifsal me'achila sodom, or not nifsal. Nifsal means if it rotted, not only a nifsal. It's not roi l'achila sodom. The thing is not roi l'achila sodom. So that's min haTorah, that's mutter on Yom Kippur. The Tur quotes the Rav Yoh in Hilchas Yom Kippur, just like he quotes the Rav Yoh in Macholas HaSurah, that you look at derech achilos is even mutter mid Rabbanan. And the Shver Shach Paskins like the Rav Yoh, and the second Chelik Yerdei Paskins like the Rav Yoh. So here, the Tur quotes in Hilchos Yom Kippur, he quotes the Rav Yoh, that it's mutter l'chatchila to eat macholos Michael Amashka on Yom Kippur, that's nifsal me'achila sodom, that's not roi l'achila sodom. This is really also a machlokes harishonim in Psochim. Let's say you have chametz. Chametz has to be nifs me'achila hakelev. And other macholos asur is nifsal me'achila sodom is sufficient. So let's say you have some tray for food that's nifsal me'achilas odom and nifsal me'achilas kelev, and the person sits and eats it. So that's a machlokes harishonim. So the Rosh holds that you say achshavei, that midrabbanan it's asur b'achila. If he sits and eats it, he demonstrates that as far as he, subjectively, as far as he's concerned, he holds that it's roi l'achila. So this achshavei is an isa derabbanan. It doesn't make it into an isa deraisa, but it's an Issa de Rabban. And the Ramban does not agree. The Ramban preceded the Rosh. The Ramban holds that it's mutter even in the Rabban. And in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion is like the Rosh, that it is awesome in the Rabban. So this, the Rav Yoh also, the Rav Yoh, and that's quoted by the Torah in Hilchas Yom Kippur, that if you eat food, it's mutter l'chatchila, even with the Rabban, it's mutter to eat food that's nifsal, me'achila sadam. We don't really paskin like that. We paskin that it should be achshavei, it should be awesome in the Rabbanan. Because he demonstrates that as far as he's concerned, it's roi l'achila. Let's say a person wants to take a pill on Yom Kippur. Taking a pill on Yom Kippur is a question of refuah. So you're not allowed to take refuah, not on Shabbos, not on Yontif. Yontif Sheni, you're allowed to take refuah with the exception of Yontif Sheni of Rosh Hashanah, because it's Kedusha Achas, the Gemara says. But on every other Yontif Sheni Shel Golias, that it's only with the Rabbanon, so the Gemara says that refuah is mutter, unless there's some halacha involved. Refuah is mutter. So let's say on Yom Kippur, if a person is a, usually you're not allowed to take refuah not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. Let's say a person has a heter to take refuah. He's a chayel shem sakana. That's how we paskin. There are different opinions, and the Mishnah Berurah paskins la halacha. The Machaber paskin, Mishnah Berurah leaves it like that. That a chayel shem sakana is permitted to take refuah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, even on Yom Tov Rishon. The Mishkan is Yankib has a tshuva. He thinks we should paskin not so. That refuah should be awesome, the rabbanon, even for chayel shem sakana, unless there's a suffix sakana. Anything less than a suffix, a kani should be mekum. But that's not the accepted opinion. We follow the way it says in Shulchan Aruch that the refuah is mutter, taking a pill is mutter for chodesh em sakana. Chodesh em sakana means that he has such a condition that slows him down, he can't function normally. He has such a splitting headache, he has to lay in bed, or he has fever, he has to lay in bed. Mutter lemishkav chodesh kol gufay. So then we assume that refuah is mutter. But let's say he has to swallow a pill, and the pill you have to swallow with some kind of a liquid. So in order to swallow the water, you have to be a chodesh yesh b'sakana, that he isn't. So what can you figure out for him? So that's what the common practice used to be, that you drink a little, you pour a little bit of mouthwash into the water that you want to swallow the pill with, or you swallow the pill with a little bit of mouthwash. The mouthwash is nifsa machila sadam. So menater it's muta, the whole issue is only midi rabbanim because of achshavei. If he's drinking it, he demonstrates that as far as he's concerned, it's right lachil. Subjectively, he holds it's right lachil of a high rye. He's drinking it. But over here, he's only drinking it in order to swallow down the pill. He's not really, there is no achshavei. He's not demonstrating that as far as he's concerned, it's right lachil. He's not going to take a whole cup of mouthwash and drink it. It doesn't taste good. He's only drinking enough mouthwash, or mouthwash mixed into the water, in order to swallow the pill. So then this Issa de Rabban of Achshavei wouldn't apply in such a situation. So Achila we know is also in Yom Kippur. We spoke yesterday about the Chodesh Eish B'Sakan, about eating Pachas Mikashir. Rechitza is also on Yom Kippur. Rechitza's Kolguf and Rechitza's Mikzas Menaguf. We said the Taisus Yishonim, the first Taisus Yishonim in the last Perek, 8th Perek in Yuma, suggests to answer the kasha, how can some Rishonim hold the Olah Hamisha Inuim Adaraisa, so why do we allow the Kala and the Chaya and the Melech to violate these Inuim? The Kala washes her face the first 30 days after the Chasana. Bismanazad says we don't allow the Kala to wash her face because we daven a shul all day long, so the husband is not going to see her anyway. She's in the women's section. But Bisman Atanoim, they didn't daven so long, so they used to see the husband and the wife saw each other on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah says that the Kala is allowed to wash her face. So the Rishonim asked the Kasha for Chitzas and Issa Deraisa, how you matter the Melech to wash and the Kala to wash? So they say only Chitzas Kala Guf is Deraisa. Chitzas Mixman Aguf is only the Rabban. And the Rambam is Mashma Natsa, the Rambam is Mashma, even Chitzas Mixman Aguf is also Menatur. So it says in the Gemara, I feel a lahoshet that's boy, the mind, even just to stick your pinky into cold water, is also osur on Yom Kippur, either mikzas menaguf, either deraisa derabban. The Gemara says, however, that if a person is tomei and he wants to go to the mikveh to become tohor, so then it's mutter. So the two, that's the Gemara in Shabbos, towards the end of Shabbos, around Av Kuf Chof or Kuf Chof Bey, something like that. So there in the Gemara, Tosis has two girsos. So one girsa has it that there is a machlekes satanayim, whether tefillah bizman is a mitzvah, of tefillah bizman is a lav mitzvah. Is there a mitzvah min ha-Torah that the Tomei should go to mikveh the earliest available opportunity? And it's a machlekes Rav Shainim had a paskin in the first parak in Yuma. It's a machlekes Rabbein Tam and his brother-in-law, Rabbein Shimshon, whether you paskin tefillah bizman a mitzvah, tefillah bizman a lav mitzvah. In the days of the Gaonim, it seems, you look at the Raibid wrote a sefer on Hilchas Nida, that's called Bale HaNefesh. And his Chavrusa wrote Hasogas on it. Balamor wrote Hasogas. Just like the Balamor wrote the comments on the Riv, he wrote Hasogas on the Riv. So the Raibid, his beloved Chavrusa, wrote Hasogas on the Balamor. So when the Raibid wrote a sefer, Bale HaNefesh, the Balamor wrote Hasogas. They learned by Chavrusa and they were massing on each other's Sfarim. So the Balamor in his Hasogas on the Bale HaNefesh writes, I never checked it through, but he claims that in the days of the Gaonim, the majority opinion was that Tfilah Bizman HaMitzvah. Rov HaGaonim held Tfilah Bizman HaMitzvah. Then the days of the Rishonim, the consensus shifted, and the more accepted opinion was that Tfilah Bizman HaLav Mitzvah. That's a question. What does it mean, tefillah bizman olam mitzvah? There are two ways to understand that opinion. It means everyone agrees it's a mitzvah for the Tommy to go to mikveh, but he doesn't have to go bizman. He can go next week. It doesn't have to be today. It doesn't have to be the earliest available opportunity. Or you can say, no, Rashi on the Gemara in Shabbos says, if tefillah bizman olam mitzvah, so when it says in the Chumash Barocha, it says pesar b'mayim, it doesn't mean, and he should be tovel in the mikveh. It just means if he's it tells you the dip. If he's tovel in the mikveh, he'll become tar, but he's not mechuyev at all. He can remain tummy for the rest of his life. Erev Pesach, he has to go to mikveh in order to eat the korban Pesach, and Shavuot Sukkot, he has to be ol l'regel, he has to visit the Azara, Riyas Panev Azar. But otherwise, it's died from Shalvash Regalim, so he wouldn't be obligated to become tar. Chai varam tar atzma b'regel in order to be ol l'regel. That's a machlokes, what that's all about. Chai varam tairatzma b'regel. So the Shagasari has a tshuva, which the Shari Tshuva quotes. Next to the Behetiv, if you look in Mishnah Brura, at the end of Chelek Hei, he ends off with Hilchas Yantav, Simchas Yantav. So he quotes the Shagasari in the last page, in the Shari Tshuva, the last page in the Hilchas Yantav. So the Shagasari says, Chai varam tairatzma b'regel doesn't apply bizman hazeh. The whole idea of becoming Tohar before Shalosh Regalim is to be able to enter the Azara, to be able to bring the Oil Asriya and the Shalmei Chagig and the Shalmei Simcha. Gimel Mitzvah is then Stavi Yisrael Bali Yosem L'Regmi, Mechuyev in Riyah Chagig and Simcha, but Bezman Shein Beis HaMikdush Kaim can't enter the Azara anyway. Well, what are you walking into the Azara for? So there's no Chiyev of the Tai Ratzma B'Regal. That's what the Shagasari Atainis. And he says this is in disagreement with the Rosh's understanding of Rabbeinu Sadigo. In the end of Yuma, the Rosh and the Rif only have on the last parak in Yuma, because the last parak is Negel Halach about the Chamisha Inayim. The first seven prokhim is all about the Akrovus HaKorbanus, the Avodis HaYayim, and the Musafim of Yom Kippur. So the Rosh and the Rif only have on the last parak. So in the end of Yuma, the Rosh quotes from Rav Sadi Goyen that everyone has to go to Mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur and a kosher of Mikvah, and you have to say Brocha Asher Kedushanu B'Mitzvos V'Tzivanu Al HaTfilah. So what is that all about? So the Rosh understood that the Rav Sadia Goyim is of the opinion that Chai Varam Taratzma Beregel doesn't only apply to the Shalosh Regalim, it applies also to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And when he says Yom Kippur, his Labdaf Yom Kippur means Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, we're extending the din of Chai Varam Taratzma Beregel to the other Yom Kippur. And the Rosh Tainas know that it's only Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Regal, the Shalosh Regalim. You have to be Oile Regal. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur is not included. Shagasariye Tainas, it doesn't even apply to Shalosh Regalim as Manazeh. Forget about what he extended from Shalosh Regalim, the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It doesn't apply to Shalosh Regalim either. There is no Beis HaMikdash as Manazeh. So what in the world is the Rabbeinu Sadigon talking about? So the Aruch HaShulchan suggests, and the others suggest as well, that the Rav Sadigon must have understood the Pasuk, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. It means you have to be mitar yourself before Yom Kippur enters. Lifnei Hashem means before you enter into Yom Kippur. And Erev Yom Kippur, you have to be mitar yourselves. The Ramban, in his Chidushim, the end of Yuma, understands that pasuk like that. The Ramban comments on the Gemara. The Gemara says you have to say vidri on Erev Yom Kippur in Mincha. Why you daven Mincha before the Suda Mafsekas? Why do you have to say in Mincha? The Gemara says Shemi Echanik Besuda. So what does that mean? So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara sounds a little funny. That we want him to say Vida because he may choke and he may die in the middle of the minute. He won't get a chance to say Vida on Yom Kippur. How many people? I know someone Taku who died on Erev Yom Kippur in the Suda Mafsekas. But he was an old man. But why should you be concerned someone's going to die? So the Ramban says, no, Pshat in the Gemara is like this. The Ike Chiyav Vida is right before Knesset Yom Kippur. That's what the pasuk means, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. As Yom Kippur is about to enter, and we are about to enter into the status of the state of Lifnei Hashem, that's what Yom Kippur is all about. There's a Hashras Hashchina on Yom Kippur. That's why when Yom Kippur is over, we say Hashem Hu Halakim seven times. So Tosfos says, but we only believe in one God. So what are you saying, Hashem Halakim seven times? Like, why Mishma Shema Mishaskin also? So Tosfos says, no, the Shechina is leaving to the first Rakia, seven Rakia. We assume that there are seven heavens. Like the English expression, person is so excited, he's in seventh heaven. So that's a Gemara Chagiga in the second parak, that the Reshiva Rikim Heim. And the Shechina is leaving. The Shechina was with us the whole Yom Kippur, and the Shechina leaves one heaven at a time. So we're greeting the Shechina as it's leaving to the first heaven, to the second heaven, until it goes to the seventh heaven. So the Ramban writes, that's what Yom Kippur is all about. There's a special Hashvas HaShchina, and that's what accomplishes the Mechilas Avonis, the experiencing of Yom Kippur, that we're together with Hashvas HaShchina. This is what accomplishes Mechilas Avonis. So that's Pshat Lifnei Hashem Tetori. You should purify yourselves by reciting Vidui soon before Yom Kippur enters. So the Gemara says, you better say vidui in the Suda, in Mincha, before the Suda HaMafsekes, Shema Yechonei, something may go wrong. Everybody feels Suda HaMafsekes is going to take so much time, and then we're going to wash the dishes, then we're going to go to shul, then we're going to start davening. It doesn't always happen like that. You don't always finish the Suda HaMafsekes in 40 minutes. Sometimes it takes an hour. Then you're going to come to shul, you're going to be late. Then you're going to miss your chance. It's going to be a reddish gear. You'll miss your chance to recite the Vidui immediately before Yom Kippur enters. So that's what the Ramban says. That's what the Gemara meant. Shem Yechanik Besuda. That's going to die. There may be some delay. There's always a delay. Things don't always happen the way we plan. You should always say Vidui before Suda Mafsekes. But then the Magen Avraham quotes the Shalom based on the Ramban. But if nothing came up, and the Taki come to shul after benching the Suda Mafsekes, and it is before Shkia, so you should say Vidui again. You should say Hashem de Magadno and Alche. You should recite the Vidui again to satisfy this opinion of the Ramban, that the Iker Vidui on Erev Yom Kippur is Samach L'Knesses Hayom. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan and others write. Rabbi Yerucham Perler was a businessman, so he wrote this long commentary on Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rav Sadigon. He took Rav Sadigon's poem, just a few pages long, and he broke it down every phrase, and he figured out which are the Taryag Mitzvahs according to Rav Sadigan based on the poem. So he talks about this, so he writes the same as the Aruch HaShulchan, that apparently the Rav Sadigan understood, like the Ramban, Lefnei Hashem Titaru, before Yom Kippur is about to enter Titaru, you should go to mikveh, not Titaru, you should purify yourself in a spiritual sense by reciting Vidui, but rather you should be mitar yourself from Tumas Ameh. So the Rav said, that's what they said, Rav Sadigan is only on Yom Kippur, he never said it on Rosh Hashanah, and it's not that it's an extension of Chai Vonam Taratzma Baregel. The Rosh understood it's an extension. And the Shark Sari was unhappy about that. So that's what the Aruch HaShulchan and the others say, no, it's not an extension of Chai Vonam Taratzma Baregel. Others hold that Mekubalim, right, Chayvodim Taratzma Beregel, some write it only applies Beregel, doesn't apply to Shabbos. The Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos is so powerful, you'll be affected by the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos even if you happen to be in a state of Tumah. But in order to absorb the full Kedushas Hayom of Yamim Tovim on a lower level of Kedusha, so Chayvodim Taratzma Beregel, irregardless, not like the Shagasari, because you have to be Oyla Regel, you have to be Dichnas Lazar. No, in order to absorb the full experience of the Kedusha Sayyam of Yantiv. So that's how some Mekubalim, some Achreinim write like that. That's why Chai Varam Taratz Mabregel carries over to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur also, and even applies Bizman Hazem and HaTorah. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a taina against them in the Sefer Gilyoni HaShas. And Maseches Chagiga, he has a taina that there seems to be a Gemara that there is an inyan to go to mikveh even on Erev Shabbos also. It's not like the way the Mekubalim wrote that the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos is so much more powerful, you will be affected by the Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos even if you're in a state of Tumah. But on Erev, like Hasidim, a lot of Hasidim go to mikveh on Erev Shabbos. Hasidim go to mikveh every day, but even those who don't go every day, so they go Erev Shabbos. So other Mekubalim say that it's not necessary, because Kedushas Hayom of Shabbos is so powerful, it'll affect you even if you're in a state of Tumah. So Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes a Gemara that seems to contradict that. So getting back again. So Rashi, the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, where the tefillah b'zman mitzvah, tefillah b'zman alav mitzvah. So tefillah b'zman mitzvah means brachetz b'sar b'mayim is loshen tzibui. The person who is tameh has a mitzvah that he should go to the mikveh as soon as possible. In the days of the Gaonim, that was the majority opinion. That's what the Balamor writes in his Hasagas on the Sefer Bali HaNefesh. And in the days of the Rishayim, the overwhelming majority opinion was that Tefillah Bizman Alav Mitzvah, the Tosis and Yuman, the first parak brings a raya, that we don't require single girls to go to mikveh every month when they become Tomei Tumas Nida. We don't tell them that you go to mikveh because Tefillah Bizman Alav Mitzvah. If he would have said Tefillah Bizman Mitzvah, every single girl should go to mikveh every month when she becomes a nida. We don't do that. So the Pashto says we hold Tefillah b'zman or lav mitzvah. What does it mean lav mitzvah? So some thought that pshat is there is a mitzvah of Tefillah, but it doesn't have to be the earliest available opportunity. So what if the girl waits a couple of years till she gets married? So that she's mekayim the mitzvah Tefillah. Tefillah shaloi b'zman or mitzvah, she waits, you're allowed to wait so many years. Shouldn't wait so many years. So the Pashto is that we hold like Rashi, that if you hold Tefillah b'zman or lav mitzvah, it's not counted as one of the 248 mitzvahs, says say. Tefillah b'zman olam mitzvah, Rashi says, means when it says v'rochat, says p'sar b'mayim, doesn't mean you should be toivel in the mikveh. Doesn't necessarily have to be the earliest available opportunity. You can wait a few days. V'rochat p'sar just means if the person will be toivel in the mikveh, he will be tohar. But there's no mitzvah at all to be toivel in the mikveh. That's what we assume. So Tosis towards the end of Shabbos on Kuf Chav Beis, so Tosis has two girsos in the Gemara. But the Gemara says kol chavit tefillah toivel kedarkan b'tisha b'av b'yom kippurim. Tishba v'yam kippur, there's an Isra Rechitza on both. Ola Hamishin Nuim Arasar. And nonetheless, Kol Chavit Tfil is Tevil and Kedark. Anyone, his tummy is allowed to be Tevil in the mikveh. So one Girs in the Gemara had it that that's if you only provided you hold Tfil of Bizman and Mitzvah. If you don't hold Tfil of Bizman and Mitzvah, then there's no Heter to be Tevil. If you hold Tfil of Bizman and Mitzvah, then by definition, the fact that I'm being Tevil in the mikveh to fulfill the Mitzvah of Tfilah means that it's not called Rechitza Shal Tainuk. Vechitza is only also on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av if it's Vechitza Shal Tainuk. So if you stick your finger into cold water, your finger is clean. That's not called Vechitza Shal Tainuk. That's, that is called. Even though you don't get any Tainuk out of it, all Vechitza is automatically labeled as Vechitza Shal Tainuk, unless it's Mitzuruf to something else. If his body is dirty, he's washing off the dirt on his body, so that's not called Vechitza Shal Tainuk. Or if he's doing it, the shame tefillah b'zman mitzvah, so that Gerson and Gemara had it, that since you do the shame mitzvah, so that's not called rechitza shel tainuk. And Tosis prefers the other Gerson, that even if you don't hold tefillah b'zman mitzvah, even if you hold that it's not a mitzvah at all, but still, if the tummy is toivel in the mikveh in order to become tahor, even though it's irrelevant today on Yom Kippur, l'malo v'lamor, but still, if the person is toivel in order to become tahor, so that's mafkir the shame rechitza shel tainuk. Since it's l'shem tahara, so that's not called rechitza shel tainuk. So mikra din, if a woman has to go to mikvah yom kippur, she should be allowed to go. So Tosis says that we don't allow it b'zman hazeh tisha b'av yom kippur. Why? Because since the only people who go to mikvah are the married women, in order to be mutar labayla, and there's no heter labayla on tisha b'av and yom kippur, there's an isa tashmish amita. So we don't allow a woman to go to mikveh at a time that she's asur labayla. It's based on that we don't permit single girls to go to mikveh. A single girl wants to go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. What's the name of the Mate Ephraim? The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Mate Ephraim every page. Because Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Mate Ephraim is the final word. By Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis. He was a businessman in the city Brod. And he became more famous than the rabbi in Brod. The rabbi wrote the Sefer Le'Vari Achulin, which hardly anybody knows exists today. And Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis, everybody knows that he and his brother wrote the Shari Tshuva next to the Be'etev, and he wrote the Deis Ephraim, the Tshuvas, so many other sort. So the Mate Ephraim is this, the Shari Ephraim on Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. That's the standard safe, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes all the time in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. And the Mate Ephraim on Hilchas Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Sukkot, he has the final word on everything. So the Mate Ephraim, it says that even the single girls go to mikveh on the Erev Yom Kippur. Many years ago, when they started, the boys and the girls started spending a year in Eretz Yisrael. So the girls became very learned, and they started looking in Svarim, and then they came clamoring on the doors of the mikveh to want to go to the mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. So the one in charge of the mikveh called up Rav Moshe Weinstein. And he said, what do I do? So he said, Rav Moshe said, tell him we don't know how to follow that minik. We don't follow the minik of the Mate Ephraim, that even Besulos go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. The minik to go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur is only for the men. Now, going to Rav Sadie Goyen, it's a mitzvah min HaTorah. He said, but we don't say the bracha. We don't follow Rav Sadie Goyen. He said, bracha, shekir shonim, so it's one of all the we don't follow Rav Sadie Goyen. The toivel in the mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur, mishum balkeri. Even though we assume takana, the Gemara says Ezra made a takana, that a Balkari is not allowed to learn, Balkari is not allowed to daven. Then the Gemara says in the days of the later Tanoim, they did away with takana Ezra as far as learning is concerned, based on the Pasuk in Navi, Halakot Dvoriko Esh, Ma eishenim mekabel tumah after v'tarei mekabelam tumah. That's the Gemara in Brachas. So the Gemara only says explicitly that they abolished Takanas Ezra with respect to Talmud Torah. What about with respect to davening? Did they do away with Takanas Ezra with respect to davening? So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rav. So the Rambam says once they did away with Takanas Ezra for learning, the whole Takanas Ezra fell apart. Even for davening also you don't need. The Rambam writes, Sahadi Bamraimim, I think that's the Lashon. The God in heaven above will testify me that I always go to mikveh for davening. That's what he writes in Mishnah Torah. He always, the Rambam was a closet chassid. He went to mikveh whenever he was a balkari before he davened. But he says, mikveh din, it's not necessary. So why did he do it? It's not necessary. So the Kesef Mishnah has a whole explanation. Whenever they made a takana, that made good sense. And then they abolished the takana because it's ain Rebbe Tzibi Yochalim Lamed Boy, but whoever is Yochal Lamed Boy should try to observe that takana the Rambam. So the Kes Mishnah says that's why the Rambam used to go to mikveh, even though he holds that they abolished it. And the Ravid doesn't agree. We don't have a Hasag HaSaravid on that Rambam, but the Rosh quotes the Ravid. The Rosh and Brochus on that Gemara quotes the Ravid, who holds that they only abolished takana says with respect to learning, called Dvori Koesh. But as far as davening is concerned, Takana says we're still being called by men, that you have to go to mikveh in order to daven. So the Hasidim are machmer like Shitas Arayvim, that they go to mikveh for Balkari goes to mikveh for davening. And Shulchan Aruch, they accepted the penis like the Rama. You don't have to. So Saras make Shuvah, the meaning is that we're machmer on Paspalta, we're machmer on other things. Anything that's an issue. So the more correct thing is to be machmer and aseres and mechuvah. So that's what the Rishonim developed, this idea that we should be machmer like the Rabbi, even if all year long we're mekel. That even if all year long the people are mekel, but aseres and mechuvah, we should be machmer. Some Rishonim say the Baal Tefillah should be machmer and aseres and mechuvah. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They should be machmer that they should go to mikveh. So we usually assume that that's what the tefillah in the mikveh is all about. Saras made tshuva because of Takanas Ezra. If it's because of Takanas Ezra, it doesn't have to be a kosher mikveh. Maim shuvim is good for Takanas Ezra also. Maim shuvim, we are choshish that all the water that comes through the pipes, that comes through the tap, may be maim shuvim. The pipes may have been constructed in such a way that the water became maim shuvim when it comes through. So we don't allow, when you make a mikveh for women to be tovelin, you don't allow the water to go through the regular pipes. You have to collect the water on the roof and have it go down the drain pipe and so on to make sure that it's not the mashuv. But that's only if you have to have a kosher mikveh. So if a person wants to satisfy Rav Sadia Gaon's opinion that it's a real din d'oraisa, lefnei Hashem t'tor, you have to have a kosher mikveh. But if you're only tovel the way we assume, you're only tovel because of Takanas Ezra. So then the Gemara says, Baruch HaPeperish, for Takanas Ezra purposes, the water can be Maim Shuvim also.
Would the rabbis say that you have to go every day for tefillah, or only an instance where your chashash is Balkari, or you know you're Balkari?
No, if he thinks he's a Balkari, not every day.
Not necessarily every time.
Yeah. Maybe if he doesn't want to advertise to the public when he's with his wife, when he's not with his wife, so maybe he wants to go to mikveh every day. Okay, but no, it's only when he's really a Balkari. So Tosus writes over there, they think the more kirya giris in the Gemara is that kol chav tefillas tovel kedarka mitishba over Yom Kippur. You're allowed to be tovel even if you don't hold tefillah b'zman mitzvah. And Tosus in Yuman, the first parak says that we hold, we paskin like the Rabbein and Tam, that mikaret tefillah b'zman olam mitzvah. And nonetheless, mikaret then you're allowed to be tovel in the mikveh on Yom Kippur. But who goes to the mikveh? Only married women go to the mikveh. The single girls don't go to the mikveh. So what is she going to the mikveh for? To be teres lebaila, but on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, she's asur lebaila. So we don't permit a woman to go to the mikveh whenever ben kovah kol, she's asur lebaila. That's why we don't permit single girls to go to the mikveh, because they're not married, so it's just going to lead to sin. So that's why we don't permit the single girls to go to the mikveh. So the Mat Ephraim writes at an Erev Yom Kippur, in his time, the minig was that the single girls also went to the mikveh. Moshe said that today, we don't follow that minig.
So why don't we allow just with Maim Shuvim?
Because that would satisfy the Sajigon
and not be
Matthew
the
Bible. Mean that we should have Maim Shuvim, that's because of Takanas Ezra. But Machmer for Takanas Ezra, the covered Yom Kippur, the covered Aseret Shuvah, yeah.
Would that satisfy the Sajigon?
No, Rav Sadi Gaon, if you learn Pshat and Rav Sadi Gaon, Chai Bodom Taratma Beregel, it's a din deraisa, it has to be a kosher mikveh. Or if it's not based on that, the way the Rosh wrote, but it's rather, Lefnei Hashem the Torah has to be a kosher mikveh, so Maim Shuvim will not be good.
Should married women go again to mikveh before?
The meaning is they don't. Even the married women, the meaning is they don't. Only the men go to mikveh. There's a tshuva in the Maram Shik to Reb Shlomo Breuer when he was engaged, so he was learning Hilchus Nida. So he had a shaila: if we don't allow a woman to go to mikveh whenever she's asa b'tash mishamito, because it's going to mislead her, she'll think she's muteris. So what if a couple is married and the husband is sitting shiva? So she's not allowed to have tashmish with the husband because he's sitting shiva. So do you say she's not allowed to go to the mikveh? Or do you say no, as far as she's concerned, she's mutar tashmish amit. It's not like Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur, that she has an Issa. Yeah, the husband has an Issa. She only has one husband. So bottom line, she's going to be also with tashmish amita. But mitzido, she's mutar. So the Maram Shik has a whole tshuva about this. He wishes a mazel tov on his engagement. And then he discusses the shaila. I forgot what he paskened. Yeah, the Gemara says that not only is rechitza also sicha is also sicha kishtia. Sicha is kishtia. To smear oil on the body is also. The Rabbi Natam holds that this is only midirabbanon. He holds all the other inuim is only midirabbanon, and he holds that it only applies sicha to shemen. If you're going to rub, let's say, a piece of fat on the body, and the oil is going to get absorbed into the pores, even though you accomplish the same result as rubbing oil. But you're rubbing a salad on, so he holds that that's not included in the Sikh Kishtia. He holds that Sikh Kishtia, the Gzer Darabonim, is only instituted in limited cases. A zar is not allowed to be Soch Shemesh al Truma, that's Chumer Medarabon, Sikh Kishtia. And on Yom Kippur, and it doesn't apply to other Isurim. Sikh is what? On Yom Kippur.
Yeah, on
Shabbos. On Shabbos, Sikha is Mutter. Ramah says, let us smear oil.
What
aren't you allowed to smear? Ramah says, Feinstein has a chumrah that if it's very thick oil that doesn't pour easily, so then you should dilute it. He has a chumrah about liquid soap. He says, he thinks that sometimes the liquid soap is so thick that it may be a violation of Mimareach. So he recommends to make sure that it's very thin. And the Gemara, you never have that. The Gemara says you're allowed to smear oil on Shabbos. Doesn't distinguish between thick oil and thin oil. But Moshe has that chumrah.
And then the last thing, I think the husband said, doesn't the Gemara say that the woman knowing makes us available in front of the husband, so technically she's not really to touch with you, not be to herself.
Depends who died. Yeah, I mean, if a parent of the husband died, if a sibling died, so then you don't have that din. And then the Shulchan Aruch says that Bizman is that we don't observe that din because it's only out of covet for the Avelim. So all the Avelim today are Moichel on the covet. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. The Bizman is that one who observes Avelis even in the presence of the spouse. Ein alamen amasmim. But we don't observe that practice anymore. We assume everybody's Moichel. The Ramah's Machma, what? What do you mean for Nihu Geshloshim? I don't know. Gotta look in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah in Hilchas Shabbos says that you're not allowed to use a bar of soap because when you use the bar of soap enough times, it's going to disappear. How come it disappears? Every time you use it, you cause a layer of soap to be liquefied, to disappear. So you're creating a new smooth surface. It already had a smooth surface. The bar of soap had a smooth surface before I started. But when I rub using a bar of soap, so I cause a new smooth surface to be created. It's a fraction of an inch. It's a mashu less than it was before. It's not really noticeable, but we notice that the bar of soap is, we know it's going to disappear ultimately. If you use it 1,000 times, there isn't going to be a bar of soap left. So obviously, we're wearing off a little bit. So the Rama says, you're not allowed to use a bar of soap. Liquid soap is okay. You don't have this problem. Rav Moshe says you have the problem of the marech, to make sure that it's not too thick. Soap should be, should pour in water to dilute it a little bit more. And then the Rama says, but on the weekdays, you're permitted to use a bar of soap, even if the soap contains chelev. Because chelev is also b'achila mutabano. So you're allowed to use the soap to wash the body. And there, the Bir Agro disagrees, and he says he's machmer against the Rabbeinu Tam, that not only do you apply sichah kishtiyah by the two cases and the Gemara by Yom Kippur and by Truma, it should apply even to solids against the Rabbeinu Tam. He says only on a liquid oil, and it should even apply to chelef, even though it's not Truma and it's not Yom Kippur.
Sunscreen is also sunscreen.
What is sunscreen? Not to get burnt by the sun?
Yeah.
Is it thick or is it very liquidy? It depends how thick it is. If it's very thick, then it'll be a problem of memarech, like to rub on Vaseline or to rub on something very thick is an issue of memarech. Yeah. They still have now also. They still the different soaps. The more expensive soaps have chelev in them, and you can get soap without chelev. It costs less money. It's less expensive. Yeah. So sicha is also on Yom Kippur. Nilos Asandal is also on Yom Kippur. Yeah, that he was machmor all year round. Right. The Mishnah Berurah quotes it for those who follow the Gro. Mishnah Berurah writes in the Hakdamah to his Sefer, he's going to quote the Shitas HaGro all the time, not necessarily implying that that's the Psak Halacha, but he knows that in this generation there are a lot of people like to follow the Gon Shita, so he's going to let you know what the Gon Shita was. One of the people who liked to follow the Gon Shita was the Chafetz Chaim. So that's what he writes in the Hakdamah. There are a lot of people in our generation, he means himself. But that's why he's always going to write the Shitas HaGro, not necessarily meaning everybody should follow. But for the Hasidim of the Gro, they should know what his opinion was. So that's the Gro, and Hilchas Shabbos is machmer on that. I remember when the stipler passed away, so they delivered Hespedim. So one of the Rabbonim who later on published all of those volumes of Orchas Rabbeinu mentioned in his Hesped that the stipler was always machmer for this. He never used any soap. When he took a shower, he never used any soap because he was afraid that it may have chelev in the soap. He could have bought less expensive soap, but you know, it doesn't have any chelev. But he made a gzeira. A loipluk, okay. Nilas HaSandal is a machloikas atanoim in Yevamis and in Masechus Shabbos. What's the definition of sandal for chalitza purposes? Cholza nala me'al ragloi, what's the definition of a nal? So the generally accepted opinion is that it's only a nal if it's made from leather. It's not made from leather, not. That's based on a pasuk in Yecheskel that describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and that was like the birth of the nation, the birth of a baby. So that when the baby is born, so the midwife cuts the umbilical cord and ties the knot, and they wash off the baby, and they powder the baby, and they diaper the baby, and they put on clothing, and they put on shoes, and the baby gets older, they put on shoes. So the pasuk reads, "Ve'en olech." Tochash, and the Rebbeinu Shlom did all of this with Klal Yisrael in the 40 years in the Midbar. So one of the things was, and I put on shoes of you from Or Tachash and Olech Tochash. So we paskin like the Tana that we learn from that pasuk that a nal is only considered a shoe if it's made from Or, made from leather from an animal. If you have wooden shoes or you have sneakers, anything other than leather is not considered a nal. So that's for purposes of chalitza, where bachma like that has to be made from leather. The Rabbeinu Tam, we mentioned, Rabbeinu Tam is quoted by Tosfos as saying that it has to be or beheima tohoira for chalitza shu. If you use or beheima tmei, it's no good, because the pasuk says, v'neolech tochash. And the tachash, the Gemara says in Bema Madlikin, that the tachash must have been a kosher animal, because l'huchshu l'malach ha-shamayim al-or beheima tohoira bovai. It can't be that the Rabbeinu Shalom would have instructed us that we should use Orist Choshim for the cover for the Mishkan if a tachash is a non-kosher animal. So what did the Rabbeinu Tam mean to say? All of our shoes are horse leather. So So what does Rabbeinu Tam mean to say you're allowed to wear regular shoes on Yom Kippur because it's only called a nal if it's Or Behemah Torah? Or Behemah Tmei is not called a nal. So that's what Darach HaShulchan and Hilchas Chalitza and other Rachanim say, no, the Rabbeinu Tam didn't really mean the Nolech Tochash, that it's only called a nal if it's a Or Behemah Torah. He meant for Luhuch Shulam Malach HaShamayim Or Behemah Torah Bilvad. He meant not only by Tashmishei Kedusha, even by Tashmishei Mitzvah, we spoke Shofar from a Behemah Tmeya. So the Ramah quotes the Ran as saying that it's no good. The Ran writes he's Mesupik, whether it's good. Why is the Ran Mesupik? Because Shofar is a Tashmishei Mitzvah, it's not a Tashmishei Kedusha. So that was the Sofik, whether the Halacha L'Moshe Messinai, Gmiri, Luhuch Shur, L'Malach HaShamayim, Alor Behemah Torah Blavad, does it only apply to Tashmishei Kedusha? Does it even apply to Tashmishei Mitzvah? So that's probably what the Rabbeinu Tam meant to say. But if you have shoes made from horse leather, of course it's also to wear it on Yom Kippur. It's also to wear it during Shiva. Yeah. The Shaila is, we paskan by chalitza. We're machmer that the chalitza shoe should be made from leather. What about on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur in the middle of Shiva? So there was one opinion in the Tanoim, the Machlokes HaTanoim, one opinion in the Tanoim, that in order to be considered a nal, it has to be megan. If you just wear socks, that's not megan. But if you wear sneakers or you wear wooden shoes, so that would be megan. So for chalitza purposes, when machma has to be dafka leather, when machma has to be or behemah Torah. What about for Yom Kippur? So on Shulchan Aruch, they paskin across the board that it's only also on Yom Kippur. Bein l'hakol bein l'hachmer. When mekel on Yom Kippur, and if the shoe is not made from leather, even if it's sneakers and it protects the foot, a wooden shoe, when mekel, you're allowed to wear it on Yom Kippur. They quote from the Vilna Gaon, he thought maybe you should be machmer, because according to the Rambam, and the Holach HaMishi Nuyim HaDeraisa, you're dealing with a real issue Deraisa, so maybe we should be machmer over here, to be choshish for the other opinion. Some of the Rishonim, the Balamor, and Yevamos, paskins like the other Tana, that wooden shoes or sneakers are good for chalitza purposes. So we don't follow the Balamor l'hokka, but maybe we should be machmer l'hachmer like that. Rav Soloveitchik always used to say, every year when he spoke for the Balabatim before Yom Kippur, he would always recommend that for Yom Kippur you should have sneakers without arches. Because the Rambam writes, it should be margish koshi ha'oritz. So if you have arches, then you're not margish koshi ha'oritz. If you have sneakers without arches, then your feet are going to hurt a little bit. So he thought that the Rambam meant to be machmer, even if it's not made from leather, if you're not margish koshi ha'oritz. That was his recommendation to be choshish. He used to say over this gro. The Gemara has a discussion. The Gemara has a strange discussion. The bottom here, this is the arch. That you have a heel that's half an inch lower than the sole. So that's an arch.
Yeah, grown men who wanted to us to wear non leather shoes on German and vicious about them, is that because it's not a noun?
Yeah. There's a difficult, that's what I'm about to say, there's a strange sugya masecha Shabbos, but hakav yotze b'kiter yotze b'kav shalom. That a man who is missing a leg is allowed to walk on the street. Is he allowed to walk on the street with his wooden leg or not? So the Gemara there sounds as if it says that you're only allowed to wear clothing on Shabbos while they're malbushim, or you're allowed to wear tachshitim, and the thing has to be a nal. If the thing is not a nal, and you put it, if you wear gloves, so that's okay. If you wear clothing, a shirt, undershirt, arba kamfa is fine. If you wear something on your foot. So if it's a nal, it's mutter to wear, and if it's not a nal, you're not allowed to wear. But that's what it sounds like from the Gemara, that if you wear sneakers on Shabbos, it's an iser haitzor, because it's not called a nal. So the Rishonim asks, on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wear sneakers chutz la'erev, because it's not a nal. That's why you're allowed to wear sneakers on Yom Kippur, because it's not a nal. So whatever is not a nal, according to the Gemara on Shabbos, is an iser haitzor. So the Ran on the Rif says, no, on Yom Kippur, since that's normal, you're not allowed to wear nal, so it's understood that whatever you wear is darker the kach, that's okay. What if you wear, but if you wear sneakers on Shabbos, then the Ran says, that's what it sounds like in the Gemara. Very strange Gemara, that's what it sounds like. So how do you wear socks? It's also not a nal. Socks is a beged, so sneakers is also a beged. It's a very strange. Then there's another discussion. What if a person doesn't observe? In America, it's very common. You have people come to Shul Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and they come in leather shoes. They're wearing leather shoes. So the Shagasari has a tshuva, where he says, based on the Gemaras, based on Rishonim, if you wear leather shoes on Yom Kippur, since you weren't allowed to wear the leather shoes, it's Be'isa, so it's an Iser Haitzah also. Not only are you in violation of the Chamisha Inuyim of Nilas HaSal, you're in violation of Haitzah. So this is a whole hullabaloo of a discussion. Is that really so? That if you wear Shatnas, if you wear Shatnas on Shabbos Chutz Le'erev, so you're in addition to the violation of Shatnas, you're also in violation of Haitzah, because you're wearing a garment that you're not allowed to wear. A big Kiddush. So that's a whole discussion. Tashmi Shamita is also Asar on Yom Kippur. That's the Machlekes HaRishayin, whether that's an Issa Derais and Issa Derabbanon. The Achrayinim are bothered with Akasha. Even it's an Issa Derabbanon, they have this Kasha. The first Mishnah in Yuma says the Kohen Gadol has to be married. Because it says, V'chipa Bado Be'ad Beis, the Beis is Zuishtoi. When he says the Vidui, the first Vidui, he says Vidui for himself and for his wife. Then the second vidu is for himself and Echav HaKohanim, and the third vidu is for all of Klal Yisrael. Kohen Gadol says vidu three times on Yom Kippur. Normally a person has to say vidu for himself. I can't say vidu for you. And Yom Kippur is an exception to the rule. Kohen Gadol, when he does the Avodas Yom Kippurim, the second and the third vidu is for Echav HaKohanim, and the third is for all of Klal Yisrael. So the first Mishnah says the Kohen Gadol has to be married. The Tosfos Yeshanim on the side has two opinions on Beis Amud Aleph whether that's the Kuva. What if the Kohen Gadol is single? And he went ahead and he did the Avaida. Would it be kosher b'diyavad or not? See, as Machlokes and Balei HaTosfos. So the Gemara says in Yuma, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, how married does the Kohen Gadol have to be? Is it sufficient if he has Erisin, or is it necessary that he has to have Nisuin? So the Bavli says beferish that you need nisuin. Beis Zuishta is only if you have nisuin. Some of the Rishonim there and a lot of Achrayim say that in the Yerushalmi would appear to contradict the Bavli. On Yuma, there's a set of Tosfos, the Rialovon. They're not sure exactly why he was known as the Rialovon, whether he had white hair prematurely, or he came from White Russia, or he came from the other side of the White River. Some river, they used to bubble, used to be white. They're not sure exactly. But Taisus Avizawafen, the Shittim Kobetzes quotes the Rialovan on different Mesichtas. Here there's a Rialovan on Yuma. So the Rialovan has this suffix, whether the Yerushalmi is in disagreement with the Bavli or not. The Feinayim always talks about Yerushalmi on Yud Gimel and Aleph and Yuma. The Feinayim assumes the Yerushalmi is Cholik on the Bavli, that Erisin is sufficient. And the Bavli holds not so. Vechip Abad Abad Besu Besu Zuishtoi only applies to Nesua. There's a Rashi and Kiddushin daf Yud Gimel Amud Beit, happens to be B'mikre, the same daf. Here it's Yuma Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. There the Rashi is in Kiddushin Yud Gimel Amud Beit. The Gemara there in Kiddushin is discussing the din that if a girl is not a Kohenis, but she married a Kohen, so she's permitted to eat Truma. Eish is Kohen Achelus B'Truma. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Where does it say in Chumash that Eish is Kohen Achelus B'Truma, even though she herself is not a Kohenis? So Gemara digs up a pasuk, Kohen ki ikne nefesh kinyan kaspo. If the Kohen buys a behema, so he's allowed to feed the behema truma, and the arusa is also, Eishas Kohen is also kinyan kaspo. So even if she only has erisin, min hatarish she's allowed to eat truma, and only mid the rabbana they prohibited arusa and achelis betruma, and she tikonis lechuka. So Rashi is bothered with akasha and Yud Gimel and Beis and Kiddushin. Why did the Gemara have to come up with this new pasuk of Kohen ki ikne nefesh kinyan kaspo? Behind Nami, the Arusa is kinyan kaspo. The Sifro has a drasha on a pasuk called Torah bebeis chayochal oisai. Beis is a wishto. So the pasuk goes on eating truma. Torah bebeis chayochal, if the wife is the hoira, she's allowed to eat truma. So why did the Gemara need a new pasuk? So Rashi answers, if you would only have the pasuk of the Sifro called Torah bebeis chayochal, beis is a wishto, that would only apply to an Asua. But Ula in the Gemara wants to say Arusa Achelus Betruma Menator. So where is there a pasuk that Arusa Achelus Betruma? Amarula Dvatar Arusa Achelus Betruma Shenema. The Kohen Ki Ikne Nefesh Kinyan Kaspa V'Hainami Kinyan Kaspa Hu. The Arusa is also Kinyan Kaspa. So that's what people don't realize. Where did Rashi get this idea that Beis Zuishta is only in a suah? They got it from the Gemara in Yuma. Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara said beferish like that. That if the Kohen Gadol is only married with Erisin, he didn't do nisuin yet. So then that doesn't satisfy the requirement of Beis Zavishta. Beis Zavishta is only after Nisuin. And Arusa is an Eishes Ish, Lobby Beis HaBaal, and Nisuin is an Eishes Ish Beis HaBaal. So the expression Beis Zavishta refers to an Eishes Ish Beis HaBaal. Yeah. So the Gemara says, all discussion, what do you do if the Kohen Gadol, Mrs. Kohen Gadol, dies in the middle of Yom Kippur, and they tell the husband he's in the middle of the Avoda? So he's going to be very distraught that his wife died in the middle of the Avodas Yom Kippur. He has to quickly get married. Either he married the girl on Erev Yom Kippur, he has a backup wife, or he married the girl on Yom Kippur. So then the Gemara asks the Kasha, but that's not enough just to be Mekadosh the Isha. You have to have Nisuin. So the Gemara, okay, so he'll do Nisuin on Yom Kippur. That's the Gemara Yud Gimel Amad Aleph. The Mekadosh La is not enough. He'll call Kamado Lekonis La La Besahu, and the Gemara Dekonis La, he'll do Nisuin also. So the Achrenim are bothered with the Kasha. The Rambam has a Mechudish Dik interpretation in the Gemara in Ksubis that Chupa Sheinivuya Labiyah is no good. The Gemara says if the girl was Pirsa Nida before Chupa, so there's an issue. So what is the issue? So the Rambam learns that the issue is since she's a Chupa Sheinivuya Labiyah because the Yisa Nida, so the Chupa will not be Koine. We don't follow the Rambam. We do a lot of times a Chupas Nida. The Rambam says you're not supposed to do a Chupas Nida. It's Chupa Sheinivuya Labiyah. And then the other Rishonim say, the Magen Mishnah quotes the other Rishonim say, we're even machmer for tzuchut pesheni royal abia midirabbanon. The din is that the husband is not allowed to live with his wife unless she has the document of the ksuba. So we insist on giving the ksuba to the kala before the nisuin, that it should be a chupa haroyal abia. I was recently at a wedding. On Sunday. How to leave to a wedding? When was it? 2 weeks ago on Sunday. So the rabbi forgot, oh yeah, because the chassan was a Sfardi. So by the Sfardim, apparently they don't have the minhag to read the ksuba in between the eris and the nisuin. So they didn't read the ksuba, so they went right after eris and they went to nisuin. So the rabbi forgot to have the chassan, but he's supposed to give over the ksuba to the kala, otherwise chupish anywhere to be. So because they didn't read the ksuba, so they forgot all about it. The Masad Kedushim Mekad said, after the chupa was over, he told the chassan, give the ksuba to the kala. Okay, so we are usually machmer Ashkenazim for sure. A machmer, you should give the ksuba to the kala before the chupa. That it should be a chupa, a royal lebiya, even with the rabbanon. If pirsa nida, so chupa sheni royal lebiya menator. And if it's a kala who doesn't have also lahashes ishta shachas below ksuba, if she doesn't have a ksuba, it's also with the rabbanon. So that's what the Achronim ask on the Rambam. How can the Rambam claim that there's such a din chupish and a is no good, and even a saying a be a midirabbanon, like not having given over the ksuba? On Yom Kippur, there's an Issa Tashman Shamita, either an Issa Derais and Issa Derabbanon. Nonetheless, the Gemara says if the Mrs. Kohen Gadol dies on Yom Kippur, he has to marry himself another wife and he has to do Nisuin. He does a chupa, kainas ala chupa on Yom Kippur. How can you be kainas l'chupa on Yom Kippur if there's an isa tashma shamit? This is the kasha that Achreinim is. But the Rambam holds chupa shenivay l'biya is not kainas.
In other words, because of the din of Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur is an isa tashma shamit, so it's not going to be based as a wishto. If chupa shenivay l'biya is not kainas, she'll only be an arusa. She won't be an asua. So you have to distinguish the pashas. You have to distinguish. There is last year we were learning Yevamah, so we discussed it a little bit. Nida is an exception to the rule. Clearly, an exception to the rule. Normally, the rule is whenever there's an isa karis, like balachas, balima, balbito, chamoso, eshesish. Whenever there's an isa karis, so the din is en kiddushin tofsin and the vlad is a mamzer. And by Nida, it's an exception to the rule. Kiddushin is Tofsin. A man is Mekadosh and Nida. The Gemara learns that from a Pasuk. V'sehini dosa olam. Afila b'shas nidosa tehei bo havaya. Kiddushin atofsin b'nida. And the Vlad is not a mamzer. So even though this Koreis, Kiddushin atofsin, and the Vlad is not a mamzer. So this is clearly an exception to the rule. So the question, which rule is it an exception to? So the Rabbi Natam in the Sefer Yosher, and the Tosfos is the first daf in Yevamah is that based on Menachem. Rabbi Natan is of the opinion that Nida is not called Gili Arayis. That Nida, you wouldn't say Yehorek Val Yavar on the Issa Nida. It's an Issa Koris. Like Chametz B'Pesach is an Issa Koris. Eating on Yom Kippur is an Issa Koris. Mi Mechal Shabbos is an Issachar, and you don't say Yehorek Val Yavar. You only say Yehorek Val Yavar, and I will Zor Gilei Arayis and Shvichas Domim. So even though Nida has an Issachar, it's not Gilei Arayis. So that's why Kiddushin Atofsin, and that's why the Vlad is not a Mamza, because it's not Gilei Arayis. And the Rambam writes Beferish Natsa. The Rambam writes Nida Bechlal Harayis. He writes it a few times, and he has Dinim based on it. So the Pashtus is really, since Nida is Bechlal HaRais, the Din should have really been En Kiddushin Tovsin. So that's Xeris HaKosuv, you learn from the Pasuk, Zehi Nidasa Olav, Afila B'Shas Nidasa, Tehiba Havaya, Kiddushin HaTovsin. But that's what the Rambam holds, that was the Gemara Sofik, maybe Nisuan HaTovsin, because of HaRais. That's why. Maybe Nisuan HaTovsin, because of HaRais. But on Yom Kippur, there's an Issa, Tashma Shamita, it's a Zaitige Issa. It's not that it's Gilei Arayis on Yom Kippur, it's not no Gilei Arayis. So the Rambam would never say Kiddushin, that a Chupish ain't a royal would be because of a Zaita Geisa, because of an Issa, a Tashma Shamit on Yom Kippur. Even if it's an Issa Deraisa, that's not called Chupish ain't a royal would be. I wonder about Kalab, the Osa Lahasha Sisishtai, Shahaz Baloik Suba. That's a side Issa, that's not an Issa Gilei Arayis. So the Rishonim seem to hold that midirabbanon, if you didn't give the ksuba, the kala, the wife doesn't have the ksuba, it's as if the ishus is incomplete. So that's what those rishonim say. You have to give the ksuba before the chuppah should be chuppah roi labia, because a kala, the wife doesn't have the ksuba, so you can't be kind of full nisuin. If the wife doesn't have the ksuba, it's as if it's only a madrega verison. So that's the chumrav. Chupa sheni roi labia only applies to nida, because it's gilei arayis. Really, it should have been en kiddushin tofsin, but that's an exception to the rules. So when it comes to nisuin, the Rambam holds that nisuin are not tofsin, because it's an erva. And the rishonim added on, the sum of the rishonim added on, chupa sheni roi labia, if you didn't give her over the ksuba, because that was the nature of the takana de rabbana, was that you should consider the woman, even though she's an isua, you consider it as if the ishus is incomplete, kozman, she doesn't have the ksuba in her hand. So it's as if the chuppah wasn't kind of nisuin, as if she's still in arusa.
Even a woman who is arusa, I thought it was only issa d'rabbanan. Why is that considered similar to
the Gilei Arayis? No, not similar to Gilei Arayis. No, it's arusa is menator moteris labayla. But with the rabbanan, she's asura labayla. So here they said, even though he did nisuin, but if the girl lost the ksuba, if she doesn't have the ksuba, so the ishus is incomplete, and we say it's as if she's only in arusa. Even though he did nisuin, we treat it as if she's only in arusa. So this whole idea of chupish and roi labia only applies in these two cases. By neither, because it's an issue of should have been en kiddushin tofsin by arayis. So we said that's an exception to the rule, kiddushin atofsin, but nisuin are not tofsin, because of the issue of arayis. And then b'lo ksuba, because that was the nature of the takana de rabbanan, that an isha b'lo ksuba, we treat it as if the ishus is incomplete. So you shouldn't do nisuin. You're not going to accomplish to have the full nisuin. You should wait till you give it a ksuba, then you do the nisuin. So then she'll become fully basal. Anyway, that's enough in the Gemara. You'd give Lamed Aleph that if it's necessary, you do the nisuin on Yom Kippur. The Rambam's opinion is that on Shabbos and Yontov there is no din of Tosefes. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes has a whole Daf Gemara, a whole block Gemara about Masifim Echol Al HaKodesh. So the Rambam doesn't paskin like the whole Gemara. He paskins only on Yom Kippur. In Hilchas Shvisa Sasa, the Rambam quotes a din. Masifim Echol Al HaKodesh Yom Kippur before Lefanel Le'achreel. You have to add on. He never quotes the din by any other Shabbos Yom Tov. So that's why the Mechaber writes, Yesh Misha Omer in Hilchas Erev Shabbos. Yesh Mishaimer, that it's a mitzvah lahosem echol al hakodesh. Why do you say Yesh Mishaimer? Because the Rambam is Aymid Keneged. The Rambam holds that it's only a mitzvah to service Yom Kippur. It's not a mitzvah on any Erev Shabbos, any Erev Yom Tov. Then the Magen Mishnah points out in the Rambam that he seems like he's writing that even on Yom Kippur, when you have a mitzvah to service, that's only been a get to the Inuyim, not been a get to the Malachim. There's no mitzvah to service on Yom Kippur either been a get to Malachim, only been a get to Inuyim. Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that Magen Mishnah in a big way. He thought it didn't make any sense. The Makevis HaMishnah also attacks the Magen Mishnah. He thinks it doesn't make sense. Makevis HaMishnah was one of the Achrenim. He was the Rav in Chelma. There used to be a city, Chelma. that had the Chelma Chachamim. And then there was a city, Chelma. The Merkabah Zamishna lived in Chelma. The Mishnah Berurah quotes him a lot. He wrote the Shulchan Shlomo, Shulchan Atzei Shlomo or something. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a lot from the Merkabah Zamishna's other sefer, Hanor HaChaim. So the Merkabah Zamishna thinks that the Magnishna is not correct. He thinks that if you have a din of Tosefes on Yom Kippur and you get to the Inuyim, so you can't split, you can't have Tosefes only for Inuyim and not for Malacha. It has to be for everything. How much is Tosefes? How much are you supposed to be Moser? 5 hours. How much are you Moser Mechol Al HaKadosh? So there's a Gemara in Beitz Daf Lamed Amud Aleph where the Gemara says, Mutam Shiyushogigim Velo Yehum Ezidin. If a person is violating an Aver B'Shogig, and the nature of the person is such, I know this person. Even if I'll tell him, he's not going to listen to me. I'll give him Tachach, he's doing Keneged Adin, he's not going to listen. So the Gemara says, "Kishem shemitzvah loy madavra nishma, kach mitzvah shalol madavra sheina nishma." So don't tell him. Better not to tell him. Mutam shiyushogigim velo yehum ezidin. If I'll tell him, he's going to continue to do b'yisr, and I'll make him into a mezid. So better not to tell him. So the Gemara pins all the blame on the women. The women eat on erev Yom Kippur till late, and they're not going to listen. So we better not tell them. They're not going to listen anyway. So the Rishonim ask, "What do they eat into Bein Hashmashes?" They eat it. The women don't know that Bein Hashmashes sapig yamsaf ek laila. They abstain from aloha on Erev Shabbos of Bein Hashmashes. Bein Hashmashes are suffix that they says no, must be Tosefes is before Bein Hashmashes. They eat into the Zman of Tosefes. But they wait, but they stop eating half a minute before Bein Hashmashes. So from the Gemara would appear that there's a certain amount of time. There's a minimum amount of time that you're supposed to be Moisef Mechol Al HaKadosh. You're not Yotzef, you're just Moisef for half a minute. So how much is that amount of time that you're supposed to be Moisef Mechol Al HaKadosh? The Tosfos throws their hands up, they don't know. They say from the Gemara, it's a little Tosfos on Laman Amar Aleph and Beitza. From the Gemara, it would appear that Tosefes Shabbos has a minimum amount of time. Otherwise, what are you complaining about the women? They stopped eating half a minute before Bein HaShmashes entered. So it must be that it should be more than half a minute. They don't know how much time it is. So the Acharonim quote that the Rabbeinu Peretz on that daf says a half an hour. Where do you get a half an hour from? Samach, half an hour is always Samach. Samach l'mincha gdol, Samach l'mincha ktana. So Samach l'knisas HaShabbos, a person should be mekabel Tosef is Shabbos. The Samach is usually a half an hour. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said, that the Mechaber writes, Mechaber holds like the Rabbeinu Tam, that the first 55 minutes after Shki is Vadayom, even though it's pitch black outside, you can see 1,000 stars, Vadayom. And then the next 18 minutes or so, that's Bein HaShmashes. The Mechaber writes, and when is the Zman of Tosefes? From the sunset until the end of the first 55 minutes. That's the Zman. If you want, you can make all of it Shabbos, one, you can make part of it Shabbos. The Zman of Tosefes is after the Shkia, before the Bein HaShmashes. So that's if you all like the Rabbeinu Tam, that the first 50 minutes or so is Vadayom, and Bein HaShmashes is the last 18 minutes of the 72 minutes of the Rabbeinu Tam. But if you all like the Baal HaTanya and the Vilna Gaon, they right away at the Shkia is Bein HaShmashes, and when is Tosefes? Before the Shkia. So how long is Tosefes? So he said, where he came from in Europe, there used to be Moshe Mechal Al HaKadosh, 30 minutes, like the Rabbeinu Peretz. He said he never understood as a child on Erev Yom Kippur, there used to be Mekabel Tosefes Yom Kippur an hour before, 60 minutes before. Every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, they did Tosefes 30 minutes. And Erev Yom Kippur, they did Tosefes 60 minutes. So he asked why, Manish Tana Yom Kippur. So the official answer was given, half an hour for Inuyim and half an hour for Malacha. So he didn't understand that because he never liked that Magen Mishnah. What do you mean, Tosefes for this and not for that? And he said, "Bichla, what does it mean? Half an hour for Tosefes for Inum, half an hour for Malacha. Should be the same as Mat." But he said, that was the meaning where he came from. There used to be Moshe Mechal Al HaKadosh. There used to be Ben Shlich, to be Mekabel Yom Kippur, an hour before the Shkia.
Is there enough just to stop the Inum? You have to be Mekabel,
to stop the doing the Malacha, yeah.
Or do you have to be Mekabel that you're starting to be Mizanah? Is it enough just to stop eating
with the intention of being mekabel kedushas hayom of Yom Kippur?
It could be the problem with the women is that since they were eating until half a minute before, they weren't mekabel any Tosefes. since they were eating until before, they were just worried about the time.
So they ate into this man of Tosefes, yeah. There's a minimum amount of Tosefes, and they ate into that zman. You're really supposed to observe Tosefes longer than a half a minute.
It could be that you can make a half a minute if you're makabel, but since the women...
I mean, you want to say there's no minimum time. You want to say not like that. There's no minimum time, but the women never were makabel. Could be. Could be that that's the pshat. But Tosefes doesn't learn like that. He's suggesting not like Tosefes. Tosefes says from the Gemara would appear that there's a minimum amount of time. And Tosefes doesn't know what that amount of time is, and there are Rabbeinu Peretz. Now we have the Rabbeinu Peretz. It's printed. Yizgah wasn't printed, so the Achrayim quoted it. Maimon Mordechai and other Achrayim quoted it. Now we have the Rabbeinu Peretz on Beitz. It's printed. That's what he says, half an hour. So people should try to be Mekabel Tosefes Yom Kippur in advance.
What did Tosefes do? He says he kept on it. What did Tosefes do? Tosefes says he couldn't find a time.
Yeah.
But what did he do? I mean, you can go back and say, because the law is present. This time they were also making
sense. I don't know. That doesn't say. They don't know. The Gemara says that when we daven tefillah belachash musaf on Yom Kippur, we only have to mention hakrovas hamusafim, but the shliach tzibur who reviews the chazaras hashatz has to include the seder havoidah. The two different sets of karbonis. The karbonis and achrei mois, that's special for kapora, and then the karbonis and parshas pinchas, that's musafim, and you need both sets of karbonis. The hakrovas are karbonis and parshas achrei mois, that's big day lovin. V'lov shakai midavad michnin sevad yel basha psorai. Abnei bad yachkov is nevis bad yitznov. That's avoda be big day lovin. And the avoda that he did, the musafim that he brought in Parshas Pinchas, that avoda was done in big day zov. We mentioned the avoda was divided into five units. First big day zov, then big day lovin, big day zov, big day lovin, big day zov. Based on the simple reading of the Chumash, the avoda was only divided into three units. Big day zov, big day lovin, big day zov. But Rashi and Chumash quotes, the Gemara has a numa. Kol ha-mikra kulo kosov ha-vaseder, chutz mi-mikra zeh. One pasuk is written out of order, because Gmiri, we have a tradition, the Chumash Tvilas, Vasari Kiddushin, Toivu Ya-Kain Godel, O-Mikadosh B'yom HaKippurim, he goes to the mikveh five times. Every time he puts on the big dekun, he goes to the mikveh. And the way it says in Chumash, there are only three units to the Avodah. So the Torah Shebaal Peh says, you have to break up the middle of Avodah, so you make it in five units. Big Day Zov, Big Day Lovan, Big Day Zov, Big Day Lovan, and then Big Day Zov at the end of the day. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol used to send the Shiluach HaSoil Azazel. He used to give the Soil Azazel to an Ish Iti, Hamidbara, and the Kohen Gadol, whenever a Kohen does an Avodah, so he has to stand in that place in the Azara where the Avodah has to be done. Let's say you want to do a Kabbalah Saddam of a Kotche Kotchim, has to be Bitzofan. So it's not enough that the cup, the neck of the animal with the Klishores is Bitzofan. The Kohen Ha'ebed has to be Rosh Beruba Bitzofan. The Kohen has to be Bitzofan also. Let's say there's an Avodah that has to be done in the Hechel. So the Kohen has to be in the Hechel. He can't stand outside of the Hechel and do the Avodah in the Hechel, lean in a little bit. He has to be standing, Rosh HaBeruba, in the same place. So the Shiluach, it's an interesting din, the Shiluach HaSoyer LaZazel has to be done by the Kohen Gadol in the Azara. But he sends B'Yarishiti. So till the Yarishiti reaches the Midbar, the Kohen Gadol didn't finish the Avodah yet. Let's say there's a Gemara in Zvachim, in the first parak, the end of the first parak. The Kohen does a Hazah on a Mizbeach. He takes dam from a carbon, and he throws it from a distance on the Mizbeach. Before it lands on the Mizbeach, someone cut off the finger of the Kohen Gadol. He became a Balmum. At the time he did the Zrika Saddam, he was not a Balmum. But before it landed on the Mizbeach, he became a Balmum. So the Gemara says that the Avodah is possible, because you need the Kohen Gadol has to be kosher, the Kohen, not Kohen Gadol, the Kohen has to be kosher at the time he does the Avodah, and at the time that the Avodah lands. When the dam is Nizrek, when it reaches, when it's Magia, Lam is Bech, the Kohen has to be still standing in the Azara, and he can't be a Baal Mumin, he has to still be wearing the big dekuna. So here you have a strange din. The Kohen Gadol has to be Vishilach B'Yadishiti Hamidbar. The Kohen Gadol has to send the Sar HaMishtalech to the Ishiti. The Ishiti pushes it over the cliff. That's the Ishiti does. But the Kohen Gadol says Vishilach B'Yadishiti Hamidbar to the Midbar. So the Kohen Gadol has to stand in the Azara. The din is Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azara, Elan Amalchei Beis David Bavad. Kohen Gadol is not allowed to sit down. No one is allowed to sit down in the Azara. Only the Melech who is from the Malchus Beis David. So the Kohen Gadol gives over the Sari Hamashtalech to the Yeshiti, and the Kohen Gadol has to stand in the Azara for an hour, twiddle his thumbs. He can't go to the next step in the Avodah. Every step in the Avodah he has to go in order. So he waits till the Mishnah has like that. He waits till the Yeshiti was Higia La Midbar. He doesn't have to wait 3 hours till the Yeshiti pushes over the cliff that the Yeshiti does. But Vishilach the Yeshiti Hamidbar till he's Magia, the Trilas Hamidbar, that took about an hour, the Mishnah says. One Tana says that they used to wave flags from one place to the other, said they would notify the people in the Azara that it was already Higia, the Trilas Hamidbar, the Yeshiti arrived. And the other Tana says, why do you have to wave flags? You look on your watch, you look on the clock. It took approximately an hour till the Yeshiti reached, if he's going at a normal pace. So it took around an hour till he got to the Midbar. So the Mishnah says, that's the beginning of the seventh Perek, that after he was notified that he Higia HaSoyer L'Tchilas HaMidbar, then Bola Kohen Gadol Ikras, then the Kohen Gadol can leave the Azara and he can sit down. He's standing for an hour, and he's waiting till the Yeshiti finishes the Avodah that the Kohen Gadol did. Which Avodah? The Vshilach the Yeshiti HaMidbar. It's an interesting din. You have the same din on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol does Haktora Lifnai V'Lifnim. And it says he has to wait Ache Yismali Habayis Kuloi Oshan, and then he can walk out. Why can't he walk out before? Well, you're afraid it's not going to work. No. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that the Avodah is not chal. It's like the kohen being doing the Zrikas Hadam from a distance, and it didn't land on the Mizbech yet. So if Nikto Yodo, if his hand gets cut off before the dam lands on the Mizbech, it's considered a psul balmum. Even though at the time that he did the Zrikas Hadam, he was not a balmum. He has to be behechshero until the Avodah is completed. So too, when the Kohen Gadol does the Haktoris Daka Meradaka on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he has to wait Ache Yismali Habayis Kulei Oshan. Otherwise, if he's going to leave, so the Gemara HaVodah didn't take place when he was still Behechshero. He has to be standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim at that time. And then, only then can he leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the same over here, he's not allowed to leave the Azara. When he goes to lane, the Gemara says he lanes in the Ezra's Noshim. He lands in the Harabai, not in the Azara, because he's going to sit. He's tired from standing for an hour. So he has to stand for an hour in the Azara, because it's considered the Gemara of his Shilach the Adishiti Hamidbar. Samachudish the Kedin. That's what Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. So there were some communities in Europe where they had a minig bedavka to have a pause for an hour, right before Kriyas HaTorah of Mincha. Zechel HaMikdash. Then the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol had a pause for an hour. After the Shiluach Hasar LaZazel, after giving to the Yeshiti, he waited an hour in the Azara until he would lane Kriyas HaTor. Lemaisa, we lane what the Kohen Gadol laned on Yom Kippur, that's a din deraisa. When he lanes after the Shiluach Bi'ad Yeshiti HaMidbara, the Gemara Daf Hei and Yuma says that's a real din deraisa, as far that it's Ma'akev the Avoida. If the Kohen Gadol doesn't lane, that's a Kriyas HaTor deraisa. The Mishnah says in Eilun Emorim, in Mishnah Soito, let's say a person gets an aliyah and he doesn't know how to say the bracha in Hebrew. So strictly speaking, he can say the bracha in English, in Yiddish, whatever language he knows. Eilun Emorim Mechaloshim, brachas can be recited in other languages also, but the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he gets he's the only one who gets an aliyah. He only one aliyah. And the Melech, when the Melech lanes Hakel, that's a Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa. So the Mishnah says the Birchas HaTorah that the Kohen Gadol says on Yom Kippur, and the Melech says by Hakel, has to be in the original Hebrew. Because these are the Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa, special din Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa. So the Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa that he laned after the Shilach Bi'ad Yishiti Amidbara, that was Achrei Mois, that's the Seder Aveda. That's what we lane in the morning. We lane that for Shabbos. The Mincha on Yom Kippur, we lane the Arayas, the end of Achrei Mois. We lane Parshas Arayas. So we're not laning the same, by Mincha, we're not laning the same Kriyas HaTorah. But in many Hasidic communities, they had such a minig, bedavka, zechel amigdash, davka, to see to it that you have a pause of an hour, of at least an hour to make a zechel amigdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol had to wait for an hour before he had the Kriyas HaTorah. Why in the world do we lane Parshas Arayas on Yom Kippur afternoon? So Taisus and Megillah has two suggestions. One suggestion is historical, that the Mishnah says in the end of Tainus, the girls used to make shiduchim on Yom Kippur and on Chamish Asa B'Av. So you have to learn Parshas Harais to warn the boys, you're not allowed to marry this girl, you're not allowed to marry that girl. Make sure that the woman is muteris, that you shouldn't make a shidduch with a woman who's asur. Then Taisus has another suggestion, that we're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he shouldn't be Megala Ar Erva. He shouldn't embarrass us. And Gili Erva, Gili Arais, in the sense to cause busha, to cause embarrassment, not in the sense of Bia Sasuras. So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he told us not to be Megala Erva. He shouldn't be Megala Erva on us. He should be Moichel Aravainas, and he shouldn't cause us any humiliation. So Leitchi gave another suggestion that he said was totally really in a Machlekes HaRishonim. There is a fundamental Machlekes HaRishonim. What's the nature of the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur to Mincha in the afternoon? When do we have Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha? We have Anatayim and Sibur. When we have on Shabbos afternoon, we have Kriyas HaTorah. So that's a shaila. What is the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur to Mincha? Is that because Yom Kippur is a Tainus Sibur? So it's like a Kriya on a Tainus Sibur to Mincha? Or is it the Torah Shabbos afternoon? Shabbos afternoon, we don't say Haftorah. In Mincha afternoon, you do say Haftorah. So isn't that a dead giveaway that the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur to Mincha is like a Tainus Sibur, that you lain Vayichal and you lain a Haftorah? So the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, no, there is a Gemara in Bamei Matlikin where the Gemara says that Bizman HaGemara, they used to lay in a half Torah to Mincha, Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, from Tehillim. Instead of having half Torah from Navi, the Mishnah says in Megillah, Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, Eim Aftirim bin Navi. So the Rabbein Tam says, yeah, Eim Aftirim bin Navi, but the Gemara is beferish that they used to say half Torah from Ksuvim. What was that all about? So Rav Soloveitchik had a whole suggestion. But apparently they did lay in the Haftarah to Mincha on Shabbos afternoon. So that's the Shaila. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that this depends on a Machlokes HaRishonim. The Mechaber and the Ramo have a Machlokes 2 days in the Mordechai. When you lay in the Haftarah to Mincha, and Baal Machlokes says the brachas afterwards, where does he end? So the Ramo says he ends with Mogen David, like on Tainus Sibur. The Mechaber says, no, you say, Allah Torah, Allah HaBaidol, Al Dim, Al Yom HaKippurim HaZeh. Because the Kriyas HaTorah is not B'Torah's Tainus Sibur, it's B'Torah's, like on Shabbos, it's B'Torah's Shabbos. So the Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha Yom Kippur is not B'Torah's Tainus Sibur, B'Torah's Yom Kippur. So you should say, Allah Torah, Allah HaBaidol. So that's the Machlokes, the Mechaber and the Ramo. Rabbi Kivega has a tshuva where he discusses this Shaila. Let's say there's a person who's observant, all of his life he observed Yom Kippur. Now he's an old man, so the doctors say he has to eat on Yom Kippur. It's a suffix sakon if he doesn't eat, but he observes all the other dinim of Yom Kippur. He davens the whole day, he doesn't wear shoes. He observes all the chamish inuim, except for achilu shtiyah, the doctor tells me he has to eat meat. So is he allowed to get an aliyah on Yom Kippur? So Yom Kippur in the morning, why not? He's observing Yom Kippur to the extent that he's obligated to. The shayla is, can he get an aliyah to Mincha? But the Kivega is mistopic. Maybe the Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha is like a Tainus Sibur, so whoever is not Misana shouldn't be allowed to get an Aliyah. Or maybe the Kriyas HaTorah is really the Torah's Yom Kippur, so just like in the morning. So he's observing Yom Kippur, so he can get an Aliyah even to Mincha. So in the Sefer Marcheshes is a Tshuva Sefer by the Dayan in Vilna. He was older than Rab Chaim Moshe, and he outlived him. He was born before and he died after. Rab Henoch Egish. He was a Dayan. He writes in the Hakdamah to his Sefer, he learned in the old school, before the analytic approach came. He learned by the Beis Halevi, the old style of learning. He says, now everybody is analyzing like chemistry. They analyze all the Gemaras. He says, I don't go for that. He goes the old style. But he also has very lumdashi things in a lot of his Jews. So he has a tshuva where he discusses this. So he says, could be Rav Soloveitchik heard it from him. So Rav Soloveitchik said the same as he has there. He did discuss a lot of things with Rav Henoch Egish. Rav Soloveitchik used to go, when he was in Berlin, in the university, he used to visit Rav Chaim Moser every so often to talk and learn it. Rav Henoch Egish was there also, same time. So he said, Rav Henoch Egish writes in Sefer Marcheshes, and it's true, is the Rabbi Kivega Sofik really depends on this Machlokes Mechaber and Ramah. The Ramah holds at the end, Mogen David, means that the Kriyas B'Torah Tainus Sibur, so whoever is not Misana shouldn't get the Aliyah to Mincha. And the Mechaber holds that the Kriyas B'Torah Yom Kippur, So that's why you should say Al HaTarabi, Al HaAvaidov, Al HaYamakipurim HaZeh. Now, so Lechik said that two minhagim, whether the Balkoire lanes with the eerie nigin of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to Mincha Yom Kippur, or with the regular nigin. And the same thing, whether depending on how the Balkoire is going to lane, the Oil La Torah, should he say a normal nigin, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMeirach, or should he say Baruch Hu Hashem HaMeirach, the special nigin for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So Rav Soloveitchik taught that it should all be Toli Zeh B'Zeh. If you follow the Ramah, that you end off Magen David, so it's a regular kriya like on a tiny Siva, so it shouldn't have the special Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Dikin Nig. But if you all like the Mechaber, his minig was, he said in Valojin, they follow the Gro, and the Gro says like the Mechaber, that you should say Al HaTorah Be'al HaAvodah, that the kriya by Mincha should be B'Toras Yom Kippur. So he said if you're going to say Al HaTorah Be'al HaAvodah, it's B'Toras Yom Kippur, then you should have the special Nigin, the Yom Kippur Dikin Nigin.
Generally done. I know
by Groy
they said the Mincha
with the regular vegan. Not with the Yom Kippur
digging.
Uh-huh.
I forget
how they
regular.
Also Maftir in Groy is done with regular.
Regular.
They only do the special
shachrises. I think most places, I think they do like that.
No.
The regular ending for the Kriya Satara and for the Maftar.
So I thought specifically even those who would otherwise use the special niggun for their eyes don't, because it sounds like we're whining about the Isuri Rives.
Don't know. Okay. Different minhagim. Okay. In Shulchan Aruch it says that in most places on Yom Kippur they have very little hafsoka, no hafsoka at all. They daven all day long. So you have all day long to daven, so what's the big rush? You can daven slowly. So it says, no, you have to hasten to make sure that you start Musa before half an hour after Chatzos. Because if Chatzos is around 1 o'clock now, so around 1:30 is half an hour after Chatzos. If it's already Higiyah, Zman Mincha, and as far as you're concerned, it doesn't make a difference whether you're going to daven Mincha first or Musa first. So then the Gemara says you're supposed to daven Mincha first, because Tore B'Sheinah Tore, Tore Kodem. So we don't do that, even if it turns out that we waited till 1:30 to start Mincha. We're not going to daven Mincha first. We follow that opinion that the Rambam quotes and other Rishonim quotes, that you don't do that with Tzibur. You're going to Tzidrei the Olam, they're going to be totally confused. You only do it B'yachid. If a private person comes on Rosh Chodesh, he says, I didn't daven Mincha yet, I didn't daven Musaf, and I have to daven both now. It's about Shkia time. So which one should he daven first? So if a private person comes, you tell him, Tore B'Sheinah Tore, Tore Kodem. But B'Tzibur you don't do like that. Then it says in Shulchan Aruch, there's another Kpeda, that you have to daven Musaf before the end of Shor Shvius. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah says, you can't daven Musaf after Shor Shvius, period. You're not allowed to daven Musaf. That's the end of the Zman Musaf. We don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass in Tfilas Musafim Kol HaYoyim. But l'chatchila, yenikra posheya, if you wait to begin Musaf till after Zayin Shos. So let's say 1:30 is half an hour after Chatzos. So 2 o'clock is the end of Zayin Shos. That's the end of Shor Shvius. So even if you didn't start Musaf by 1:30, which you really should, but you really shouldn't wait to begin Musaf till after 2 o'clock. That's really not proper. That's absolutely not proper. So Rav Soloveitchik had this suggestion, why do we learn Parshas Arayis? Tosfos gave the two reasons. Either because they used to make Shiduchim on Yom Kippur, because we are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to be Megala Erev Oseinu. So Rav Soloveitchik gave another suggestion. If one should assume that the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur afternoon is not B'Toras Tainas Tzibur, but rather B'Toras Shabbos, like every Shabbos used to learn Kriyas HaTorah with Haftarah to Mincha. So what's the din? On Shabbos afternoon, what do you lay? So the Gemara says, Mokem Shemafsik and Shachris, Maschil and Mincha. So in the morning, Yom Kippur morning, we lay in the beginning of Achrimos. So the afternoon, we should lay in the end of Achrimos. Not exactly, we skip a little bit over there. We don't exactly pick up on Yom Kippur afternoon where we left off in the morning. We start a little later. But that was his suggestion. Yeah. What is Ne'ila all about? So the Gemara says Ne'ila is this added additional tefillah that they added on a Tainis Sibur. Every Tainis Sibur, the Mishnayos have in Tainis. Every Tainis Sibur, they used to add Ne'ila, Bayas ain't tiny seba but bubble chutz me tisha bubble yam kippurim levad. We only have two tinyas that are called tiny seba. One is tisha bubble, one is yam kippur. We don't say ne'ilah on tisha bubble because the Gemara, the Yerushalmi especially, explains in the end of Tainus, the whole idea behind ne'ilah is ribuy tefillah. If you repeat the tefillah many times over and over, you stand a better chance of having the tefillahs accepted. So on Tisha B'Av, because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's not going to help the ribuy tefillah. That's why we don't say tiskabel, because the Beis HaMikdash is chorev, so the tefillahs are not accepted. So that's why we don't say ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av. So it's left, the only tiny sibah we have is Yom Kippur, so that's why we say ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. But strictly speaking, it's not really a Yom Kippur dika davening. It's a tiny sibah dika davening. It's Yom Kippur, but Torah is tiny sibah that we recite ne'ilah. When is the zman of ne'ilah? So you can't say ne'ilah, let's say you're going to daven mincha at 1:30, and then you're going to daven ne'ilah at 2 o'clock. Ashkama minyan, to finish everything up. No, you don't. Ne'ilah is supposed to be besof hayom. Kishachama barosha ilonis. That's the earliest. When the set, the sun is beginning to set. When it's already the end of the day. So how much of ne'ilah has to be bayom? So that's three opinions in the Gemara, in the end of Yuma with the Rishami. One opinion is you have to finish the whole ne'ilah before the shkia. The other opinion is you can begin ne'ilah balayla. You can begin ne'ilah balayla. If you hold like that sheet, you can begin ne'ilah balayla. Then the Gemara says you don't have to daven ma'ariv. That if you daven ne'ilah balayla, so you're ready daven the Shmoneh Esrei. So there's no need. You have to say kriya shma with the brachas, but you don't have to recite the Shmoneh Esrei of Arvis because you're yotzei with ne'ilah. And we follow the middle opinion that it's called, it's mitzurif to the tainis. If you start ne'ilah mibod yom, even if you finish balayla, that's good enough. The Vilna Gaon writes that it's based on that we follow, there's a machlokes of Rishonim. What if a person ate a meal on Purim and he benches Matzoi Purim? He ate on Rosh Chodesh and he's going to recite Birchas HaMazon on Matzoi Rosh Chodesh. So it's a machlokes of Rishonim. Whether you say Yalav Yavanata, whether you say Al Anisam Anat, do you go Basa Haskolas Hasud? So lichatchila, one should avoid this machlekes harishayim. You should really bench before the shkia. But many places they don't. In yeshiva every Shabbos, they eat shalashudas before the shkia, and they don't get to bench until doomsday. They bench an hour after the shkia, much later. So they machten themselves lichatchila every week into this machlekes. So we pask, and if the tchilas hasuda was on Shabbos, that suda is called the suda Shabbos. It's been starved to Shabbos, and then you say ritzei. So the Vilna Gaon says that the mocker for this idea is by ne'ilah. It's all the same din. That since we pass like the middle shita, you don't have to finish ne'ilah b'bod yom as long as you started b'bod yom. The whole tefillah is called tefillah satinus. So the same over there. So if the suda began on Rosh Chodesh, or the suda began on Purim, so the whole suda is labeled as a suda's Purim, and you recite the alanisim or yalav yavai. Matzoi Yom Kippur, we have a minig, we blow shofar, and Tosfos has different explanations what that's all about. It never says in the Gemara. So one opinion in Tosfos is that it's Zecher LeYom Kippur Shel Yovel. We lost track. The din is that once every 50 years you have Yovel, so Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you have to blow Tkiyah Shvarim Truah Tkiyah, and so on. So that's one opinion in Tosfos, that you blow Matzoi Yom Kippur, Zecher LeYom Kippur Shel Yovel. The other Tosfos says, what are you talking about? Every single year, it's a suffering, maybe this year is Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. Once every 50 years. How did it become every year? So Tosfos says, no, that one opinion of Tosfos, there are three opinions, that one opinion of Tosfos, that it's a siman of Siluk Shechina, that it says, B'mshech b'kerin ha'yevel hemi yalu bahar. That calls man that there was Hashras HaShechina HaSina, and no one was allowed to go up. V'hemi mish lo yichya. And then when they heard the shofar blowing, that was a siman for Siluk Shechina. So then everyone is allowed to climb up in HaSinai. It was like Kitcha Lozilov. The Kedusha didn't remain after the Maimon HaSinai was all over. So Tosfos says that on Yom Kippur there's a special Hashras HaShechina with us. And when the Shechina leaves, we say seven times Hashem Hu Elokim. When the Shechina goes to the first Rekia, second Rekia, so on. And that's why we blow shofar after Yom Kippur is over. A similar siluk shchinim. Then the third reason Tosfos gives is that they used to blow shofar on erev Shabbos to announce that it's Kabbalah Shabbos. So Amatzoy Yom Kippur, we're announcing that Yom Kippur is over, that you're allowed to eat, and everyone should go home and eat. It's a mitzvah to eat Amatzoy Yom Kippur. Many have a meaning in Shulchan Aruch, many have a meaning to eat Fleishiks Amatzoy Yom Kippur, on the assumption that our sins were forgiven. The Baruch Shalom was kind to us and he forgave our sins. So that's the third opinion of Tosfos. The Mishnah Berurah raises a question: what if the Chazan finished? The Rishonim write that in many communities they wanted to duchen to Ne'ilah. The Mishnah says you duchen to Ne'ilah, but they held that you're supposed to duchen mibod yom before the Shkia. So they would leave out Avinu Malkeinu. They would leave out a lot of things after Mincha. They would be mekatzer to make sure the Chazan would finish the duchening part of Ne'ilah, which is almost the whole Ne'ilah, that's mamish towards the end. He would finish the duchening before the Shkia. And then they would say Avinu Malkeinu slowly, and they would say other piyutim. So what happens if you finished all the Avinu Malkeinus and it's not yet Seisa Kochavim? So in America, we wouldn't recommend this, to blow shofar in the middle of Bein HaShemashos before Seisa Kochavim, because the public knows that once they hear shofar and say Yom Kippur, they all run home and they all eat. They start eating, start doing malachas, they drive home and so on. So in America, we don't do this. We're not going to blow Bein HaShemashos. But in Europe, when they had no automobile, and they had no food, they weren't going to run to eat the food. A small shul, a small village, the rabbi is going to announce, we're blowing shofar because we finished Ne'ilah, but the Tanis is only over in another 20 minutes. So the Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to blow shofar during Bein HaShemashos also. Why? So he says because blowing shofar is a chachma vein, a malacha, it's only awesome at the Rabbanon. It's mutam and atar, it's only awesome at the Rabbanon. And the Gemara says, kol dov shem yishim shvus le'goz v'ala Bein HaShemashos. If it's only a shvus de Rabbanon, it's only an isa de Rabbanon, so he permitted to violate the Yisad the Rabbanon during Bein HaShemashos if it's Litzorech Mitzvah. What's the great mitzvah over here? The mitzvah to blow shofar Amatzoy Yom Kippur. Aminig. So the Mishnah Berurah says he allows you to blow shofar. That's clearly an Yisad the Rabbanon. To blow shofar on Yom Kippur is an Yisad the Rabbanon. He allows you to violate an Yisad the Rabbanon, blowing shofar during Bein HaShemashos, in order to fulfill the minig of blowing shofar Amatzoy Yom Kippur. A very big chiddush, and it's in steer to what the Mishnah Berurah himself wrote in Hilchos Shabbos. The different volumes of the Mishnah Berurah were written by different people. There was a whole team, and each one wrote what he wanted. And the Chafetz Chaim was a general editor, but he didn't read every line there. He didn't worry about steerus. There's steerus galore in the Mishnah Berurah. So in Hilchos Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlekes achreinim, which is really a machlekes arishonim, machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in Erevin, in the middle of Erevin. That rule, called davishim mishim shvus lagazu ala bein hashmashes, does it only apply the incoming bein hashmashes Friday evening? Does it even apply to the outgoing bein hashmashes of Sof Shabbos? So the Magen Avraham quotes, so the Achreinim have a machlokes, and the Magen Avraham quotes Achreinim who say it does not apply to the outgoing bein hashmashes because Shabbos is becheskas iser, and the incoming bein hashmashes the day is becheskas chol, because the last 24 hours was erev Shabbos was chol. So the Bein HaShemashos is Becheskas Chol. But the outgoing Bein HaShemashos is Becheskas Iser, Becheskas Shabbos. You shouldn't be mekel there. So that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in Erevin, in the middle of Erevin in the Lamed. So the Mishnah Berurah there writes, you should not be mekel on a Bein HaShemashos of Sof Shabbos, only Tchila Shabbos. And here in Hilchos Yom Kippur, he contradicts himself. They're two different people, that's why. It's a stim sefer, but it's written by different people. Here he writes, you're allowed to blow shofar even during Bein HaShemashos, because called Abishem Shem Shus La Gozu Allah Bein HaShemashos. Okay, the Chayyadim points out there are a lot of mistakes in the Seder HaAvodah. So everyone should get a Chayyadim and write down on the side of Yamachsa the corrections. Well, in the Yeshiva, they recite the Kol Nidre like the Chayyadim's recommendation, Lahabon and Lashavar, and they recite the Chazan recites the Seder HaAvodah like the Chayyadim says. So if you want to follow what's going on, get a chayyadim and write it down on your map. Okay? What are we going to learn next week?
What time is shiur on Sunday?
What time is shiur on
is it
Sunday?
Normal? 11:30?
Normal. What's normal? 11:30. Okay.
Give me on the sukkis and